This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you already started hosting your first Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet. It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include your welcome book, a turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, plus other great bonuses you don't want to miss. Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can get all of this for a special price of $27. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get instant access. Now on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
We're going to start off this show like we always do. Sarah, what are we going to do?
We're going to STR share Sunday it. It's yes. A verb now.
It is. It is. If you are new to the show, again, that's hashtag STR share Sunday. And STR stands for short-term rental. And we like to highlight someone that has used the hashtag because we're all about sharing your space and living your dream. And this week on the show, we are sharing at the Lodge on Clear Lake.
And this one's special because they are brand new to hosting and they're already using our hashtag and listening to the podcast and they've got their Airbnb live. And as of right now, April 2020, they've got 3 reviews up, all 5 stars. And it's just the cutest cabin on a lake. And Annette, I mean, they're in Minnesota, right?
Yes, Watkins, Minnesota. And something that stands out to me just about this place, in their profile, fishing, they have ice and fly fishing, kayaks, bonfires, family time, dive bar, ski hills, hunting. I think it is the first time I've really seen a Four Seasons lake house where they're highlighting winter activities. For example, ice fishing all the way to kayaking in the summer. And I just love that. And I think that's I'm pretty sure they probably use the house a lot too. But I really love that they're sharing the space for all seasons because I'm just used to lake houses being more of a spring and summer tradition more so than year round. So I'm excited. I'm excited they're going to be welcoming guests all year round.
They're rock stars. And it is hosted by Jessica, who I'm looking at the about this host section of Airbnb. And listeners, here's a great tip for you. If you haven't filled out who you are as a host, do that now. Do that today. People like staying with people who they feel like they know, like, and trust. And if they see your photos, they love what you're about, they love your location, they love your amenities, and they go check you out and they feel like they can trust you and that you're professional and that you care and you kind of open up a little about who you are outside of being a host, that's going to be a win-win all around. And so I know just from reading Jessica's little bio that she's a busy mom of 3 boys. She's a realtor in the West Metro area, I believe of the Minneapolis area. And she's stayed at Airbnbs all over the world. So she's excited to be a part of the adventure of being a host. So Jessica, really well done. Your cabin's adorable. Good luck on this adventure. You're going to kill it. You're already doing the right thing by tuning into the podcast and engaging with other hosts. And we can't wait to see everything your Airbnb becomes.
Oh, Sarah, I caught something right as we were wrapping that up that caught my eye. Two things. In the neighborhood section, She specifically puts, because it is a lake community, I love this. She puts, she has many full-time neighbors. What a great way for me to know, hey, they live here year-round. I need to respect that. And then the second thing that I saw, I love that she has this, the city where she's in, she put their website up, and then also a boat and jet ski rental place. And I just thought that that was really smart to actually go ahead and link to things that people might want to do while they're there. But I love many full-time neighbors. So listeners, that's another quick tip. Put that in your profile so you're already letting your guests know about your neighbors and how much you care about them. All right.
Thanks for using the hashtag, yeah, Jessica.
Let more people use it. Let us meet you via the Instagrams. It's so much fun. And let's get on to the show, Sarah.
Sounds good. All right. I am more than pumped for this episode. I know we like always say that, but this one feels, I don't know, just close to home because we have just a fellow female entrepreneur who is obsessed with hospitality and design. On today's show, we have Steph, the owner and CEO of Epic B&B. I mean, I'm obsessed with that name. A Nashville-based hospitality company specializing in design, short-term rental management, and consulting. Steph, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I know we've kind of messaged here and there, and I'm just really stoked to be here and chatting with you guys.
Yeah, we're taking it from Instagram to the airwaves. We're just getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
All right. Listeners, I know we say this all the time, but if you are near your computer or your phone, please go to Epic B&B on the Instagrams. And I think if you can check that out while we're talking to Steph, you'll get a very visual experience of what type of design and the type of property that she prepares for an amazing guest experience. So check her out while we're on the show here.
Yay,
all right, Steph. So why don't you give, you have a great story, and I know you kind of you shared it with us in our onboarding information, but I just love it when a guest shares their story from just like your perspective of how the heck you got into this business. And not only just hosting, but you have a pretty substantial business in a great city that is no stranger to travelers and tourists. So can you give our listeners the, like, before you got into this, what you were doing, and then how you got into this and to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we can all agree that we have no idea where we're going to be in 5-10 years. Like, we just, especially when, you know, when I was starting out, graduating high school and going to college, and, you know, who really knows what's going to, you know, unfold in the future. So going way back, I was with Starbucks for over 10, or actually almost 10 years. I started fresh out of high school, and I maintained that job while going to the Fashion Institute of Design in Los Angeles. And I actually went for interior design. So I didn't really use that for the longest time. But what I was learning is I was also learning how to manage, you know, a Starbucks store. And I actually at a really young age became an assistant manager and then a store manager, I think at 23 years old. I was way too freaking young. They should not have put me in that position because I was still learning how to be a leader. And I didn't know, honestly, how to be a leader. I was a really great worker. I loved hospitality. I, you know, dotted my I's, crossed my T's, and I was really good at, you know, I have integrity in everything that I do. But yeah, so just, you know, in my 20s, that's what really kind of what I did. I had this design degree. I was always artistic and I loved interior design. But then, you know, just I really needed my benefits. And then I became a manager and I was kind of in that, you know, hospitality. You know, I don't know who knows anything about Starbucks, but it's such a well-oiled machine. And even though I learned business in school as well, in the interior design world, You can't, I mean, there's nothing better than, you know, having hands-on experience. And, you know, I learned so much from working there, just about systems and routines and how to be efficient and then how to actually be a good leader, you know, and how to lead a team, inspire people to actually want to do good work. And so that's kind of really, honestly, where I really feel like my roots are in design, and then also just, you know, learning how to grow a business and how to lead a team. It really stemmed from there. So fast forward a little bit down the road in my later 20s, I was like, hey, I'm not going to be a Starbucks lifer. I've always wanted to own my own business. I love Starbucks. It was great. Taught me a lot of things. But, you know, I I entertained, you know, maybe opening up a coffee shop, or I really wanted to be my own business owner. So in between jobs, I had a couple, you know, other management jobs. Here in Nashville, I was a recording studio manager. I was like, ooh, maybe I want to get in the music industry. Actually, what brought me to Nashville from LA, I was in a band, but that eventually fell through, and I just stuck to my business knowledge and my management experience. So I did a little, you know, manage a recording studio, was the face of that studio and greeting, you know, people for recording sessions. And then, you know, it was a great job, but I really wanted a little bit more pay, and I'm still figuring things out after Starbucks. And then I got this job as an executive assistant to a serial entrepreneur. He had many businesses, and I was helping him kind of, you know, run communications and run those businesses. And one of the little things that he had, it wasn't even really a business that he had. It was like, hey, on top of all these things you're helping me with, I also have these three Airbnbs. At that time, I didn't really know what it was. This was back in 2014, maybe. I had heard about it, and he's like, hey, I need you to help me manage these. And he really was for the three properties, not a bad guy at all. I just didn't know back then. It was just like $100 to manage three properties. I was like, sure. Like,
wait, $100 a month?
We got to start somewhere.
Okay, this serial entrepreneur, this guy knows what he is doing. He's keeping his margin, you know, his profit margin high.
If he's listening to this, I'm not bashing on him. It was so new, and I had a salary, and it was just kind of looped in.
Oh, it was kind of layered in.
Everything else I was doing.
Okay.
It was layered in. Not a bad guy.
He helped you get your start. I'm not mad.
Honestly, I will give him that for sure. So, So basically I was managing his properties, and, you know, he's a busy entrepreneur, and I was just seeing like ways in which he could improve. And I was just seeing like, you know, the lapse in communication, and, you know, and I was like, hey, these are some ways we can. So I'm doing that. And then at the time as well, I was renting a house from my parents in East Nashville, Tennessee, and they lived in California at the time. And this is one of their investment properties. So I was renting the front house. They put me in charge of finding a renter for the back house. And that's what I did. So I did that for a second. And then, but when I was working for this guy, this entrepreneur, I was like, wow, like he's making like a good amount of money. Like this is, I mean, I was able to see everything. I was able to see the payouts. And I remember I asked my dad, because, you know, he's the owner of the property I was living in. I was like, and my parents are French, so I call him Papa. I was like, hey, Papa, I think that, you know, I should do Airbnb in the back house once the tenant, you know, leaves. Can I do this? Because I think that this is really going to actually help me save money. I was really living paycheck to paycheck. You know, I was in my mid to late 20s. I didn't know about negotiating, and I was just still learning. You know, 20s, it's just all about learning. 30s, still learning. And I know that it's just, you're always learning.
I'm going to go with 40s. I'm still learning. It's we're learning always.
That's what I hear. Yeah, we're just always learning, especially in this industry. So he said no. He's like, no, he's like, you don't know what you're doing. He's like, you have a full-time job already. You know, I'm concerned that you're not going to be able to pay the rent that the tenant's paying now. So no.
Oh, wow.
So Papa, so we didn't do it.
No.
Papa.
Oh,
I was like, okay. Papa. Yeah. I was like, dang it. So, so then a year goes by, and I, you know, homeboy tenant who was awesome is moving out after a year. And I, at this point, I'm like telling Papa, I was like, check out these numbers. This is what I think we could make. It was a $700 rent.
I can definitely pay you
$700 rent.
Okay, right. I was going to ask what the long-term rent was. Okay.
Yeah, it was only $700. And I was like, this would really help me. And I kind of did like a semi little business proposal to my dad. And he's like, you know what? Fine. Like, okay. And so at that time I was living with my, he's my husband now, but we were dating at the time. And we were like, hey, how can we, and he's a musician. And so we're just like, hey, how can we like freaking get our finances together? Like, how can we like get ahead? Like, we're always just trying to like, you know, live paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, we all know what that's like. And we just wanted a little bit of financial freedom. So Papa finally said yes. We only had $2,000 like in cash, to like spend. That was, you know, that's a lot of money, but back then that was like everything to us. And we're like, holy crap, we're gonna do this. And we took all of our old college furniture, and we didn't really buy anything new. We bought a couple things that were new, but we refinished it, trying to make it nice. I know the story is long, but basically that is how everything started, because as soon as we went live in July of 2015, I didn't even have the art up on the walls yet. We were still waiting for that to come in. And Matt, my husband, was like, don't launch it yet. But I was like too eager. I'm like, I'm going to publish this. And I published it and we got a booking the same day. And, you know, that's how that started. My journey started. And I loved hosting. And basically, you know, one of the businesses that my boss had at the time is he had a real estate team. And I was, you know, I was doing marketing for the real estate team. That was one of my things that I was doing there. And, you know, all these other realtors had really nice Airbnbs and, you know, we were kind of talking shop and they're like, hey, Steph, like, let me see your listing. It was so tiny. It was so small. And I was like, not embarrassed, but just like, okay. But I had 5-star reviews and like, I really loved it. And I was super passionate. I was trying all these different strategies and they were showing me theirs. And they're like, oh, like we don't do that. And we're not getting 5-star reviews. Can you manage it? And so I was kind of doing that on the side, part-time. And I had like 5 that I was managing on the side. And after a while, like it was a lot of work. And I just had that talk with my husband. And I was like, hey, like, I think this is my opportunity. I think I've always wanted to start a business. I love hosting. Like I love hosting. I remember when I was, you know, I literally remember right now, in that back house, our first Airbnb, I was making the bed, like putting the sheets on. I was loving it. And I was like, man, like, how can I do this full time? Like, how can I host full time? And I had no idea. And then it just kind of snowballed. I fortunately had to put my 2 weeks notice into my boss. And I was like, hey, dude, I'm going to start my own business. And thank you so much for introducing me to this world, but I want to do this full time. And it was hard, but that's how I started. It snowballed. And now today we're at, you know, 53 plus properties and I have an amazing team, but that's how I started.
A couple of questions. Did you get the 3 properties from the entrepreneur? Did he?
No.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because you're like, I have to raise my prices.
It was just a weird time. Sometimes feelings get hurt, you know, even though it's so not personal. And we really enjoyed working together. And I think he was bummed to leave me.
Because I
really have integrity in anything that I do, and I really wanted him to be successful. But it kind of got to a point where it's like, man, I gotta take my opportunity now. So
sure, yeah. Oh, what a good! That's an epic story.
Do you still have the back house? Is that in your portfolio?
So we moved away. We do have it. Okay. It's our Sumner Airbnb, but now it's a whole house. It's the front and the back house. Cause we moved out of that house and now my parents, they obviously still own it. And now it's theirs. It's all of theirs. And we do manage it. And it's, Sweet, our in-house designer. Once we moved out, she actually she made it really amazing. I'll have to share that with you guys.
Awesome. And so Papa, he is like all in on Airbnb now.
Papa just invested in his second Airbnb a couple months ago. Yes. And he's all in. And Papa is now like our number one handyman. And he just is always bragging about me. And I was like, you didn't believe in me.
Oh, so good.
Calling them out. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, whenever he tells a story to somebody new, I'm like, okay, I'm glad you're proud of me now. But at first you didn't think I could pull this off.
It's so good. Listeners, I've been Sarah and I follow Steph on Instagram. And of course, we're like blown away at everything that she does. But I'll be honest with you, everything kind of makes much more sense now because we always look at your portfolio like, oh, Sarah and I know how much work and, just like the organized chaos that goes into like hosting and then that many properties. But now, giving us your Starbucks background and then also the art school background really makes me understand how you're doing what you're doing. I think that you probably, like you were saying, you probably did learn so much about systems and managing people, you know, through Starbucks. And I am blown away at the 50. So did you tier up over time? Like, was it 5 and then 10? Like, did you scale slowly or was it kind of like, boom, overnight you went from like 5
to 50? So slowly. And there's so many different ways. I'm not saying that the way that we do it is the right and it's the only way. But for me, like, I want to build something sustainable. This is my freaking life. I have a 2.5-year-old. I want to enjoy my life, you know, and I also want, I want my current clients and homeowners, I want them to be successful as well. And I know, since you just said like organized chaos, like we know how every single property literally is like its own little brick and mortar business in itself with its inventory and everything, that I was like, man, and I saw some people around me, some friends of mine that were starting to do that, and they grew so fast. These businesses that just would pop up and then they would close because they would take all these clients and they didn't realize how much work it was. And then they would just spiral out and sell their businesses. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to sustain. The way we sustain is just add little by little, tweak our systems, upgrade the technology when we can afford it. And then, you know, it was slow scale. So really we started in 2015 and now it'll be 5 years. And, you know, some people will be like, oh, you only have 50 something properties. Yeah, we only have 50 something properties. There's companies out there that have way more, but it's just, you know, I don't know if you know, managing 10 properties is so different than managing 20. Managing 50 properties is so different than managing 20. And so you have to upgrade your systems as you go. And I think that for me, I know people can do it. People can grow really, really fast. And I think that's freaking amazing. I just want to be passionate about the houses that we manage. So that means we don't take on everybody. And because we want to love what we do. And we want to, you know, go into, there's a difference between going into a property and inspecting it when it's like a property that looks like it's out, you know, straight out from the 80s and hasn't been upgraded versus like going into an inspiring property. I want my team to like love what they do as well. And I see that they're way more happier now that in the past couple of years, we've been more selective with our properties and they have more passion behind what they do.
Okay. Is there a magic number you would like your business to get to, or are you open to just being organic with your growth?
I have some numbers, definitely. I mean, you know, a big goal is I would love to be a millionaire one day.
Yeah.
that's a very, very big goal, right? And I've never seen that figure. I don't have any, you know, unless somebody is not telling me, but you know, that would be a first, like in my family. And I know how to get there, and I see the, you know, what I have to do and the amount of, I know how many properties equals that number, but uh-huh. I just want to do it right. So if that's going to take me 5 years, 10 years, that's fine. I just want to do it right. And as we know, there's going to be so many obstacles that are going to come in our way to get there.
yes.
But, you know, and we'll see.
And you, Steph, you do, let's explain to our listeners a little bit. You do not do any arbitrage. Like you do not pay rent on any of these 50 properties. I mean, maybe some of them are in your own portfolio, but these homes are owned by people that come to you for you to co-host their either primary or secondary property. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay. And then also within that, do any of these 50 properties, are some of them people live in them part-time or are they full-time Airbnb or short-term rentals?
Based on my experience, we used to manage properties where the owner actually like lived in the property. Mm-hmm. We stopped doing that. We will do owner-occupied properties if the owner lives on the property, but like on a separate part of the house, like mm-hmm. a back house or the front house, just because I love my owners. I love them. But when you have to start managing an owner.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore, only because they would leave all this food in the fridge. And I'm like, hey, you have to at least follow the checkout rules when you leave your house. And so, we will do owner occupied only if it's like a separate part and we can go into the property at any time.
Gotcha. That is,
yeah,
that's awesome. And I just want our listeners to, cause I know that co-hosting is that what you consider? Would you call yourself a co-host? Like Sarah and I would, but I don't know what you would label yourself as.
You can definitely look at us as a co-host. We do things differently than probably a lot of other management companies. We are Epic B&B, and you know, we love our brand and everything. But when it comes to the guest's perspective, we like them to feel like they're dealing directly with the owner, the homeowner, because we actually do share access with the owner and they can see all of our communication.
Great.
And the reason why we don't put Epic B&B like on our Airbnb listings is because, you know, when I first started this, I was like, how would I want my property property to be managed. And I was doing a little bit of research and I saw that a lot of other companies, they will list your property under their company's like master Airbnb profile, right? Mm-hmm. So it would just be under Epic B&B or whatnot. Nothing wrong with that at all. And I honestly, like, I kind of wish we would do that because it'd be so much easier logistically. But I'm doing this for my owners. It's not really what's going to be easiest for me. It's what value can I add to somebody who has their own property? Well, we all know that Airbnb properties or listings are not transferable. And a lot of times, and I hear this all the time, people feel stuck with their management company and they're not happy with them, but they don't want to leave them because they have all these reviews. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad, and they'd have to start from scratch.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
To create a new listing.
Yeah.
And again, like I may get some eye rolls, you know, there might be other management companies that are going to be like, oh gosh, like don't say that. Don't say that. Cause I know, again, it's not wrong that you're doing that. But for me, so all that to say is that the listing is under for Airbnb is under the owner's name. And then I will, you know, it'll be the owner's name and Steph, or, you know, and we do let guests know, like, hey, you know, when you're in town, we do have a local hospitality management company. That's how we introduce ourselves to the guests is, hey, we're here for you 24/7 while you're in town. And we're available to you. So yeah, I guess it's a co-hosting kind of
thing. Gotcha. No, that's great. And I think you made a good point there with Airbnb. There's been this shift of what is property management? Sarah and I talk about that a lot, of like what constitutes a property manager versus a co-host. There's very blurred lines, I think, in traditional property managers. It's they don't really kind of understand what we do or how we do it. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't make sense to them.
Or they're afraid of it.
Exactly.
As it should be.
No, that's
which I'm okay with, because it's like the property managers, the PMs, they do what they're good at, and guest management is a different beast. And I love the way you run your business, Steph. That's pretty much exactly how we do things here in Columbus as well. I have a question for you. You mentioned that over time you evolved your portfolio to have this brand recognition of being Epic. Mm-hmm. Talk to our listeners about how you turn down a client if their property doesn't meet your brand standards.
If their property ain't so epic, we want to know how you
exactly.
Or it's pre-epic. It's pre-epic.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's probably better, Sarah. I would throw. Yep, not epic. You're out.
Yeah, on the way to epic.
Do better.
It's an interesting. Trust me, it's super interesting when somebody approaches me and I'm like, "Oh, your property sucks." Okay, so that's terrible. But here's the deal. When I first started, I took on any property because I was starting off. I didn't know, right? And I had no idea that if I took on this really old property that had all these things broken, you know, they were really cute and charming, but I learned very quickly in the first 2 years, I was like, holy crap, like I'm the one having to deal with the brunt of all these things that are broken, right? Because I'm the one that has to hear it from the guest, and the owner doesn't want to fix certain things. And it just got to the point where I'm like, I'm not setting myself up for success. The owner obviously doesn't understand what success is for a short-term rental because they don't want to fix things. And I didn't want to deal with that anymore. It was obviously not why I got into owning my own business. So I wanted to have a little bit more, you know, preventative control of, hey, like, how can I enjoy doing what I'm doing? And so really when I talk to a client, so we have our Epic standards, and the only thing that I loved about when the super host status, or I'm sorry, the Airbnb Plus program came out, the only thing I was like loved about that is that they had that 100-point checklist. And that literally was everything that was our standard for our properties already.
Nice.
And so we would tell our potential new clients what our standards were, and they would like eye roll me and be like, oh, all this expense is like, no, I don't want to do that. And so when that came out, I was able to be like, hey, Airbnb is backing me up. Like this is the standard. And then everybody wanted Airbnb Plus. That's totally a different topic. We can talk about that another time. But so already we have our standards already there. And now we have that backed by the Airbnb Plus. So it's just kind of like, see, like it's not just, we're not just telling you to spend more money. But at the end of the day, what I tell potential clients or my future clients is, would you stay in your property? Would you pay the amount that you're asking to stay in your property? Because the way that it should be, especially back in 2015, I mean, the market was so different. I mean, you really could have an air mattress and a couch, mm-hmm. and people would book your place. Like, but it's so different now, as you know, that people, guests, they want an upgrade from their day-to-day lives. So you have to provide that. Like, how can I provide an upgraded experience that they're going to look at my listing? A, it has to be marketed well, but you also have to have like an actually nice place for somebody to actually pay. Like, they're literally paying you to stay at this property. So, you know, that's a conversation I have with people. And if they're, you know, if they're not willing to, I mean, I could tell right off the bat, just having a conversation with a potential client, if they want to invest in their property or not. And it doesn't have to be super expensive. It doesn't have to be a large property, but they have to kind of understand, like, they have to be on the same page as me when it comes to just taking care of guests and providing them an epic experience. Well, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Like Sarah and I all the time, we're like, do people understand, like, when you are creating a space in short-term rental, Airbnb, you are starting a business. You are a for-profit business. Like, the very first person that steps into your business is paying you. So, like, that's where we have to shift. You know, we talk about, Sarah and I talk about it all the time. You are now a small business owner. You have to have standards in place. You said about, would you pay to stay in
your own space?
No, that's such a great, like, just, you know, you do that in life all the time. Like, just put a mirror up to yourself. Like, would you really like pay, like, let people, you know, they're going to pay you. And like, people ask still, like, do you have shampoo and conditioner? Do you have, I'm like, I cannot even believe that you would ask that. Like, of course, you know, like, so,
right.
But right. I just love that you take that when a part of like Epic B&B, it's like, you're not telling them no, you're basically just putting the question back on them. You know, would you pay to stay in the space that you're providing? And I think that helps answer that question right off the bat.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And I basically am like, hey, these are the standards. Like, this is what we know. This is how we really do frame it. Like, hey, this is what we know is going to be successful. So it's going to take this. So whether you come to me with a property that you already have that's already an Airbnb that's not doing so well, we're like, hey, these are the standards. Like, what do you need to do to get to those standards? And then somebody can see, like, oh, I really do have to do a lot. I don't really want to spend that money right now, so I'm going to chill on how I'm doing now. And that's totally fine. But that's just kind of how we vet that process. So, and honestly, if you're another property manager out there listening, if somebody starts to lowball you, just stick to your guns on what your value is. And if you're starting off new, then yeah, you can negotiate a little bit, but it's a lot of work. And I'm telling you right now that if there's a client that's giving you, who's not even a client yet, that's giving you like, you know, a bunch of headache at the beginning and trying to lowball you and just like, no, like trying to a la carte everything, it's a long-term relationship that you're stepping into. It's not like a realtor where you sell a house and you're like, okay, bye. You know, it's right. Like your owners are people that you're literally, they're your business partners. You're taking a percentage of it if that's your model. So I think just having, you know, those upfront conversations up front, like, you know, put your standards up there, don't budge, and there will be more business. It's a hot, well, other than in the COVID-19 era, it is a pretty hot business. So
I do, and I know, I think Annette was going to go into the whole COVID-19 thing, because we do want to talk to you about that stuff, because it's so relevant right now. Your episode's going to go live in just a couple weeks here, and I know that you'll help other hosts, co-hosts, property managers out there. But before we go there, I did want to touch on the fact that you have, you know, you're an epic business. You don't do this on your own. You have a team. And so how did you grow that team? Is it still evolving? Are they employees? Are they 1099s? And yeah, talk to us about having a team and working in this industry with a team.
Yeah, well, it all started, you know, just one employee at a time. So at 10, after 10 properties, I mean, I was doing everything. I was doing all the accounting, everything by myself at 10 properties.
Not turnovers though, me. Right, Steph? When did you ever do the turnovers?
No, not turnovers.
Okay.
I did in the beginning when I had like a few properties, but after two, I was like, all right, I gotta get, I gotta get somebody out of it. So no, not turnovers.
Okay.
But before I had great systems, when, you know, back in the day when a guest would show up and be like, hey, this place hasn't been cleaned. Like, that doesn't happen anymore, but I would definitely go.
Did that happen?
I mean, in the very beginning when I was learning, yeah. Because just, I guess, you know, calendars.
I've done it, so I know how it sucks.
So. Yes. This is before I was Epic B&B. This is like when I was, it was just me and it was just like a part-time thing.
Okay.
That doesn't happen anymore. But yeah, so I was like, hey, the first person I need to get is an accountant, because there's so many things that go into, I mean, the money is moving around like everywhere. You know, there's the guest money, there's the, you got to pay your owners out, and then there's, you know, the taxes, the hotel tax, your sales tax, depending on what area you're at. So accountant was, for me, was the most important thing, my first person I needed to have. And that one actually is Christine. She's amazing. And she is, she's 1099. She's not salaried. She's a CPA accountant. She has her own firm, but she does our, all of our books and accounting. And then after that, I just, I basically, it's like, how much do I want to pay myself? You know, just enough to live, and how can I grow this? And then, you know, I need X amount more houses. I can make this much more money, and then I can pay this person, you know, that surplus of money. So that's how I kind of grew it. And we have, you know, six salaried employees. And yeah, I have an operations, internal operations manager. We have our in-house designer that does all the onboarding. An inventory manager. Inventory is such a beast when it's literally 50 plus properties, not in the same area, like not in one building. These are all, most of them are standalone houses. But yeah, so that's just, it was an organic kind of growth. And honestly, as we're growing, we're also having to we're constantly kind of restructuring. And so my team knows that what we're doing today is not going to be what we're doing for forever, you know? So.
Right.
You've got to have flexibility there.
So that those six people, do any of them participate in the turnover, or is that completely separate team that you have?
That is completely separate. Yes. So,
and are you responsible for finding, because you said you're kind of all over in different areas, is the owner a part of that at all? Or is that your responsibility to find the turnover teams for all the properties?
Yes, we have all that. It's somewhat in-house. I'm going to keep saying when I first started, I had this fear, and it's not even like I have a hard time trusting anybody, but you know, we know what it takes to turn over and how hard it is. It's a lot of work. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to make sure I was working with like a pool of different, cleaning companies. That way, you know, I didn't want to be in a bad situation where one person had all the properties, right? They were cleaning all of our properties, and it would just, you know, cleanliness would go down and get bad reviews. And then I'd have to, you know, find a new company for all my properties. So the way that we've done it is we work with like three preferred cleaners that have actually grown with us, and they have their own teams. They, you know, we have our system that they work, you know, they will kind of work under our system. And then we have another cleaner who, you know, just recently, they just express interest in only wanting to do Epic B properties. And she's actually got a bulk of them. So we're working on kind of a partnership. And I've been very transparent with her. I'm like, girl, I'm so scared to, you know, like what through. And like, you're like, hey, I can't clean your, you know, 40 properties anymore. I'm out. That puts me in a bad position.
Right.
And so we're working on contracts right now as far as, and we're very like open about this as far as like, hey, like, let's just say, you can't leave without like a 90-day notice, and I just can't fire you without like a 90-day notice. So, yeah, I mean, as you guys know, it's hard to find consistent, you know, cleaning companies that are reliable. But thankfully, I've got some great ones. I got some really, really good ones that I work with, and we don't have that happen where people show up and it has something clean. So, but yeah,
interesting. I love it. Okay, let's. Oh, go ahead, Annette.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room, because just like you just said, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket with a cleaner. What do you feel like, Steph? What if Nashville were to outlaw short-term rentals? What is that pivot? I know you guys already have, I think, some licensing. Can you walk us through kind of your thought process there? And just, I'm sure you and your team talk about that, you know, because Sarah and I get that all the time. Well, what if it gets out, you know, what if it gets outlawed? And we talk about pivoting. So can you share with us your thoughts on that? And what the market is in Nashville right now? Because I know you guys have gone through a couple iterations.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's such a big question. And, here's the deal is like with any business, you do have to, you know, there's a lot of risk involved like that with laws and legislation. So for me, it's like, I'm I'm going to ride the wave while I can. And the, which I know sounds super like, like a frazzled answer, but the thing is, we don't know. We don't know what the future holds, right? We don't know. And legislation comes and goes, and they propose new things all the time. So it really, let me back up a little bit. The good thing with where I'm at today with my properties is in Tennessee, and I don't know about other states, but we have the state has a grandfather clause, where if you've been issued a permit, as long as you're not going to screw up and, you know, get red flags to get your permit taken away, they can't really, for my current clients, they can't really take away their permits.
That's clutch. So that's awesome.
Yeah. That's, I mean, for now.
Right.
For now. And so when I'm talking to new clients or even current clients that want to invest, it's really important to have that conversation up front of like, hey, like you're looking for a property. Like if you're looking for a property, like you're like in the best position because you're already not like stuck with like, you don't have to work with what you have. You can just decide what you want to do. But it's so important. And I've heard this on other, you know, short-term rental podcasts is like finding a property that should ish hit the fan, right? And you need to like pivot. Would you be able to, you know, depending on what your mortgage is, can you get a long-term renter to cover that cost? And, you know, some of my clients, you know, they've already come to me and they're like, hey, I already bought a property and I spent, you know, $800,000 and awesome. Like, that's a really cool property. It's going to make a lot of money. But if we're like in these times or like when you're trying to look for a long-term renter, like is somebody going to be paying like that mortgage, you know, as a long-term renter? And so that's where it goes into the very beginning. And again, that's not really pivoting, but I think that's super important to have that knowledge when you're looking for an investment property to find the right place that you can easily have a plan B and a plan C. So, you know, if you lose your permit, you can do corporate rentals, right? It's like the 30, 31 plus day rentals, which there is kind of a market there for that, but it's not obviously as big as the short-term rental market. And if not, can you do a long-term, you know, a long-term rental? So
what are the laws in Nashville for what you do, Steph? Like in Columbus, if we want to advertise our properties outside of a platform like Vrbo or Airbnb, you technically need to have your real estate license to do so. Or if you want to collect funds directly from, like do direct bookings, mm-hmm. or even collect the funds on Airbnb, you have to be a licensed real estate agent. What are those laws in Tennessee?
Yeah. So you have to have your vacation lodging services license. So, we have the Tennessee Real Estate Commission. And so VLS does fall under the Tennessee Real Estate Commission. So it is somewhat considered real estate. You don't have to have your real estate license. You don't have to be an affiliate broker. So it's kind of unique, right? And so that's for short-term rental. And so if you have your VLS license, which I have, you actually don't need to, like, I can have my own firm. I don't have to go through a broker. And so I have my own escrow account. Yeah, under Epic B&B, under the Epic B&B firm. And that's for short-term rental. Now, when you get into long-term rental, which is 30 day plus, that's where that is now considered, it's still real estate activity, but you do have to have your affiliate broker license and you do have to go through your broker for that escrow account. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally does. And it's so great. Like is that weird that I like love learning about all the different states and how they handle this? Cause it's so interesting. I moved from New York 2 years ago to Ohio and it's so different. So
Yeah. And that's for managing other people's properties. Yeah. If it's your own.
Right.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you are wanting to start your own short-term rental company, if you want to be a co-host, just to know what your laws are so you're not out there doing things that legally you're not supposed to be doing. So Steph, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, totally. And it's just, you know, just like in anything, just do it right. You know, get the education you need and the knowledge, and you can definitely learn as you go. But when you're dealing with other people's money, like you don't really want to mess with that. You don't want to just willy-nilly it and not do it licensed and figure it out later because it's just such a headache down the road. So don't do that.
Annette, are you ready to talk about the other elephant in the room?
Well, I'm not in the same room with you, so I don't even know what it is.
and why are you not in the same room with me? No,
oh,
Steph.
Yeah.
So how are you? Let's talk about it because, you know, about, I don't know, I think it was almost a month ago now. Was it April or May, March 11th when it was it was said that this is a pandemic. COVID-19 is a pandemic. And here we are. We're recording this on April 10th. I think your episode will be out on April 30th, 2020. How the heck are you handling it, Steph? Give us the
holy crap. The dirt. Oh my gosh. I was just talking to my best friend yesterday, and she used to be a business owner, and now she works for a corporation. And we were talking with ups and downs about, you know, being an entrepreneur and owning a business. And I was like, if somebody told me, you know, 5 years ago that I'd have to go through this, I probably maybe have not would have started the business, because nobody knew this was coming. And holy crap, it was just freaking hard. You know, it's yeah. All right. There's already an underlying stress just being a business owner, and just, it's already always there, and just having to, you know, you're constantly figuring things out, and that's fine. Like, that's like my normal, you know, I'm very comfortable with that and having hard conversations and figuring, we can always figure something out. But when this was presented, and I know I'm not, you know, the only one that experienced this, but nobody prepared for this. Like, nobody, I was like, what is a pandemic? Like, what exactly does that mean? You know? And it was really, really tough. And I remember I was actually, you know, when they announced that it was a pandemic, I was in California visiting my brother and my nieces. And my brother is also a business owner. He's one of my business mentors. And he's like, you know, Steph, like, if at this point they hadn't really announced any shutdowns in Nashville. And I'm like, what happens if we shut down? Like, you know, people were canceling like crazy. It was, I mean, I know you probably experienced the same thing. It was just like, what is happening? And my brother's like, hey, if the income isn't going to come, you know, of course, the first thing I'm thinking about, honestly, is my team. I'm like, oh my gosh, are they okay? Like, you know, I will never lay them off, right? Like, this is not, I care, my team is my family, right? And so I was super nervous about that. And just like, what does this mean? I didn't even think about myself at the time. And you know, Adrian, my brother, was like, you know, Seth, if you have to lay people off, you got to lay people off. I'm never going to do that. Like, that's not going to happen. And I'm not closing my business. I worked too hard, right? And then a couple of days later, I'm having to freaking write an email to my team saying, hey, we've lost about 60,000 plus in bookings over the next month. You know, people were canceling through mid-April. And I'm like, the income is just not coming in. Like, it's not coming in, and we need to figure this out. And so I basically agreed to pay them, you know, to a certain date. And after that, I was like, I got to figure out, you know, we can't just close. Like, we're not like a brick and mortar restaurant that you just like shut your doors and be like, put a note up and say, sorry, like, we're closed and I'm going to make the best of this and, you know, do whatever. I have to figure it out. I have to figure out what to do in the situation. And I think having only like 2 days notice to have to completely restructure your business, you know, it was super, super overwhelming and scary. I had tears and I was crying a lot. And I'm not, people that know me, I'm very even keeled. I'm not proud to not be an emotional person. I'm just not a very emotional person. And I don't, you know, I just do business and I can make decisions without emotion. And so that was really hard for me, for my fear to take over, completely take over, physically take over, mentally take over, where I had to take a couple of days there. And I was like, team, like, everybody needed an answer from me. What do we do? And all my owners, what do I do? Like, you know, how can you get people in my properties? Like, it was extremely stressful. And I think it took for me about probably a week to like accept what was happening and to finally kind of get out of that like darkness and be like, all right, like, now is like planning time. I gotta figure this out. So we basically, you know, there's really not much pivoting you can do right now. It's not like there's like, oh, well, here's another opportunity. There's really everything that stands still. Yeah, I had to completely change my management fee structure just temporarily because there's a couple of central tasks that have to keep happening. One of them is guest communication. We can't just shut down. Guests are still canceling. Guests are still asking questions. Guests all the way through the end of the year. And so I knew that I had to keep open lines of communication for guests and also for owners because they had questions. And then also we have all these vacant properties now. And that right there to me is that's vulnerable. You know, people can break in easily. And so I was really nervous about that as well. And so basically those are the top three things: was property safety, guest communication, owner communication. And I just basically created this little questionnaire for my owners. And I said, hey, you know, in order to cover the cost, so I could pay my team still, like, you know, to do some things, it's going to be $10 a week for guest communication if you want to keep it open. if you want us to do a property check, we're going to, you know, check your property once a week for X amount of dollars. If you have an alarm system, we're not going to check it because you have an alarm system. Every one of our properties has like Ring cameras. So they're all very monitored. And then I had an idea. I'm like, hey, here's some ways we can make some money. So we had about half of our properties that didn't have alarm systems because the owners never wanted that extra cost. But now they're like, oh my gosh, like the property is vacant. We need to have an alarm system. And so we put together proposals for like Ring alarm systems, which I've installed myself. Actually super easy to install. And yeah, we made proposals and we're able to generate some revenue that way just by becoming alarm installers.
That's genius, by the way, because now when you are, and I know you will be up and running super successfully again, now you have this added layer of your properties being more epic because they do have security now. That's great.
Yeah. And so that was kind of like the first 2-3 weeks. And, you know, we've done all the alarm installs and now we have like we're able to make up a schedule of the owners that wanted us to check their properties once a week, just for us to physically go in. And we kind of changed, you know, make sure different lights were on and make sure the blinds were closed. You know, we basically had to, like, before we even launched this, we went to every single property in the matter of 2 days. We just all hands on deck. We're like, hey, make sure all the windows are locked. And just because at that time, and I think toilet paper is still pretty the hot commodity right now, but back then I literally was thinking like Airbnbs are a huge target for people that know that they're an Airbnb that need toilet paper. They're gonna break in and freaking steal our toilet paper. And also, you know, like in the past we've experienced like there's so many different forms of security, and you know, owners are like, oh, if I have a camera then I'm fine. It's like, no, like cameras are good for, you need to keep an eye on guests, or if you have a neighbor complain, and if it's a false complaint, you can show your video, you know, your footage, but it doesn't stop somebody from breaking in. And so that's where having a security system, and I highly recommend like a Ring security system or a SimpliSafe. I'd say Ring because it's, if you already have cameras set up at your property, if you have two or more cameras set up at your property, it's $0 additional a month for monitoring. So why not do that? But, so that was the first thing I needed to do is make sure that I had my bases covered for communication and for checking the properties. You know, it was really hard. I felt like it was super heavy on my heart that I had to figure it out for my owners. I felt an immense amount of pressure, but none of my owners were asking me to do this. Nobody said anything to me. They were actually giving me a lot of space to figure things out, but I felt kind of like a failure. I felt like crap. Like I'm a failed business owner. Like I don't have a business right now. I kind of felt like it was my fault, but at the same time, I realized, oh, it's not my fault. Everybody's going through this. Everybody's having to shut down. But, you know, so I had spent last week really trying to make sure I was doing everything in my power to try to get these properties, you know, occupied. So I, you know, everyone was asking about corporate rentals and corporate rentals. I mean, it's Airbnb or Vrbo or whatever, but, you know, so a longer stay, it's furnished. And so my properties were already listed to accept that kind of booking immediately. But the demand for that here in Nashville, I don't know about where you guys are at, but it's just, I mean, it's non-existent. People aren't traveling. It's business workers are, there's no really business to do right now. And then so I, so then I was like, okay, well, you know, there's a company called Furnish Finder. It's for placing traveling nurses. I don't know if you've heard of them. But I had heard that Furnish Finder, that might be a good option, but it doesn't really integrate like with our property management software. We would have to start, you know, brand new listings, and that would have taken a lot of time, but I totally would have done it had there been a demand. But after talking to one of the sales reps at Furnish Finder, even the demand in Nashville, it's not there for traveling nurses. You think that it would be because, you know, with the state of COVID and all, you know, the apparent high demand in nurses, it's actually not that high of a demand right now in Nashville. We'll see where we're at in like 2 weeks, right? Depending on how all of this goes. And when this airs, we'll look back and be like, oh, it got worse. Or we'll be like, oh, it actually didn't. So we'll see. I'm excited to like look at this or when this comes out and be like, hey, like this is what happened in 2 weeks. Because as we know, everything's day by day, week by week right now. So, you know, we tried out, but yeah, so corporate rentals, all the properties are, you know, accepting corporate rental-ish, you know, types of inquiries. They're just, the inquiries aren't really there. Same thing with traveling nurses. There's really not that high of a demand. I think Vanderbilt is actually still hiring, but I've heard of a couple other hospitals around here that are actually laying off their nurses because they've canceled all these elective surgeries and all this kind of stuff. So they're just kind of waiting around. And then I've talked to a couple other long-term property managers around that actually do long-term full-time. And I'm like, hey, should I hand these over to you? Do you have any tenants looking for places? And they're like, Steph, we don't. Like, we've had, you know, in this last month, they've had maybe one or two tenants or people looking for rentals, but everybody's at a standstill right now. So we'll see how it is in a couple of weeks. We'll see April 30th where we're at. But there's really not much pivoting I can do when it comes to getting the properties occupied.
Do you have some bookings right now, though?
We do. We have a couple. So they are trickling in. You know, we've found a couple of bookings. Go ahead.
No, that's good. So you're not completely like to zero. You have some bookings in some of the properties and they're trickling in.
They're trickling in. And what I'm seeing is we did host a couple doctors that were coming from Memphis. We've hosted a couple people coming down from New York because they didn't want to be in their, you know, cooped up in their little apartments and they have family here. So that's what we're seeing mainly is people wanting to quarantine here or that are here for medical purposes.
Steph, are most of your properties, or do you have a pretty big variety of sizes? Like, are they all epic in size, or do you have a pretty good mix of 1, 2, 3, 4 bedrooms? And are you seeing any more movement on a smaller property versus a larger property? Or are you diversifying a larger property and only using 1 or 2 rooms? Is that playing into it at all?
We have all sizes. I'm literally right now in my one bedroom Airbnb right now, but which is vacant, the front Airbnb. We have all sizes. There's not one that's doing better than the other. I mean, we did get a booking for one, like a 4-bedroom property, and it was, you know, 3 people that were staying there. I'm not really seeing a pattern or a trend right now. This is so new, you know, and we're going to see too many trends right now, or it's going to be hard to grasp a trend because things are changing every day and every week. So I wish I could answer that better. No, I don't. I'm not seeing anything performing better or not.
Yeah. In a non pandemic market, do you like, and listeners, I don't know if any of you have been to Nashville lately or even in the past like 5 years, but when we're talking non pandemic, I mean, Nashville is a huge destination, especially on weekends. What does that look like? Is your occupancy during the weekends like normally like 100% throughout the whole year? And do you like double your rate, triple your rate? Like, and are Fridays and Sundays just madness? And is it 2-day minimums? Like, talk to us about what's happened in Nashville in the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I can pretty much guarantee like every weekend's going to be booked. There may be 1 or 2 in the wintertime. So our downtime here really starts, honestly, it kind of starts around Thanksgiving because a lot of people are leaving through the end of February. So, but yeah, we typically will do 3-night minimums for properties.
That's nice.
Yeah, I know. We do 3-night minimums. That's like our app. Like, that's what we want, right? Mm-hmm. But if we're, you know, kind of my strategy is if we're, you know, from today and like if we're like 45 days out, 30 to 45 days out, and there's still a lot of weekends open, then we'll go down to 2-night minimum. But most of the time, we don't even have to do that because they'll be booked for, you know, a 3-night minimum.
And I'm going to say it, Nashville's party. Like, I'm sorry, everyone's like, it's bachelorette party central. How do you vet your guests so it's not party central?
Yeah, so we have pretty strict house rules, which I know some of the owners at first were like, those are too strict. Like, we're not going to get any bookings, but they're pretty clear up front. And we do let everybody know. One of our house rules is absolutely no glitter.
No glitter.
And, you know, we just make sure we have pretty strict rules. We're upfront about it and they're not mean. We're not like yelling at people. But they're very concise and we let them know that we have exterior cameras, that if there's going to be more than the guest count, we will catch you. You know, some of our properties that are close to, like share a wall, we use noise aware, like noise monitoring. So we know, like, and we don't really ever have an issue with that. And so, I would say it comes to your communication up front. And, you know, one of our, we always ask, hey, what's the reason for your stay? They don't answer. you're not staying with us. we want to know why you're coming, first off. And people have no shame saying, oh, it's a bachelor, bachelorette party. That's fine. But we do clarify, like, hey, that's totally cool. But like, there's no strippers coming to the property. Like, there's no parties here. Like, just so you know, because that had happened. I'm not going to say it was a stripper, but there was a party. And we don't want that, because a lot of these properties are in neighborhoods. I wouldn't want to live next to a property that is having these actual parties. And we really want to respect the neighborhood. So yeah, we're pretty upfront about it. And it's, as you know, it's a fine line. You're not trying to like yell at your potential guests. You want them to feel welcome, but there's a way to go about it and just asking them questions and, hey, I just want to make sure you read our house rules. Has everybody read them? Great. And, you know, and if we ever have like a bad gut feeling our gut feeling's pretty spot on with my team. We won't accept it, or we'll just be like, hey, you know, let's check out the Ring cameras tonight while they're checking in. Let's make sure it's the right guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some ladies in my team, like if they weren't doing this, they'd be like amazing CSI investigators. They'd be awesome. Yes.
Steph, do you want to give a shout out to your team individually while you're...
I do. Christina, Allie, Bing, Swede, and Rachel, you guys are all amazing. Yeah, they're at home right now, obviously quarantining, but there's no way that I would be even talking to you guys today or have like an epic B&B Instagram. And I got to give a shout out to Shruthi as well. She's our social media coordinator, without you guys. So, but yeah.
Steph, one of my favorite questions to ask any host who comes on who manages, you know, more than two or three properties is, how do y'all avoid burnout? Do you guys have shifts? Is there like a night guest relationship manager? Is there like a day? How do you guys do it so that you're not, you know, glued to the app or computer at all times?
It takes time to be okay with like stepping away. And every one of my new people that's on, like, they're just away, and I'm like, hey. We do batch communication, so we don't just have somebody just sitting there all day on a computer. We'll batch our communication. We have different departments. We have the guest communication department. That's Allie. She manages that. And then we have our homeowner communication. That's Christina. And so we really have kind of made departments, so that way it's not like one person having to deal with the owner and the guests and the property maintenance. And we have a person that manages maintenance, a person that manages inventory. So I've really gotten to a point where it's pretty well delegated to where it's just focused work. So if you can get to a point where you can create like focused like areas of what we do, that kind of helps with burnout. And if my team listens to this, they know I do not want to bother you on your 2 days off. I tell everybody, if I see somebody emailing on their day off, I'm like, what are you doing? Enjoy, unplug, you have to unplug. And they're like, well, it's fine. I really wanted to just do this anyway. I'm like, that's fine. But like, don't be mad at me if you're burned out, because I'm telling you, like, you don't have to do this right now. Take the time off. And everybody has, you know, has to have 2 days off every week. And I tell everybody, like, just don't bug that person. You know, we try not to do group texts. We're doing group texts right now because of COVID, and it's just different right now. But I just think it's important, if, you know, to honor time off. Respect, if you're a property manager, give that person that time off. Don't reach out to them while they're off. Like, let them unplug and tell them it's okay to unplug.
How do you handle after 5 p.m. until 9 a.m.? Like, how do you handle overnight communications? I know some companies kind of say to their guests, you know, unless it's an emergency, we're closed from 9 until 8 a.m. Or is there someone on duty at all times?
Yeah. So that is actually kind of an ongoing. We've been restructuring that for the last year. And so what we're doing now is so when it comes to like checking like the non like phone, like no text, when it's just messaging through the platforms, we have a shift from 6 to 8 p.m. to kind of check all the last minute things, any inquiries or whatnot, any, you know, somebody who's checked in as a question. So 6 to 8 is kind of when we do our last shift there. And then we do have a 24/7 emergency line. We use an app called Sideline, where you can share. It's one number, and like you can log in. You can log in anytime. And so we have shifts on that. We just kind of rotate throughout the week who's on call, and we use their autoresponder feature to say, "Hey, if you have an emergency. We do have like an after hours through Answer Force right now. It's just an after hours emergency line, and they deal with very little, but it's just like, hey, if you can't get in, here's the backup code. It's just very, very simple things like that. And obviously, if it's going to be something major, Answer Force will call us, the guests will call us. And but yeah, that's one thing, as you know, and I know why you're asking that is like what's the answer? Like what's the best way to do it? And we're honestly still figuring it out. But yeah, we kind of share that right now during this COVID period. I'm the one doing it 24/7 just because we don't have very many guests staying right now.
Yeah.
But come a long way with being preventative, like preventative maintenance, preventative communication. Like we've come a long way that we don't really have people reaching out that much, thankfully.
And you have such an amazing business. You have an amazing brand. I just think it's great for our listeners to know that, you know, in our industry, it's so rewarding and it's so amazing. And so many of us have left other industries to get into this one. But that doesn't mean there aren't unique and special challenges that just no other industry can even possibly begin to understand. And that is when you're having, you are responsible for someone's stay. Like, you know, it's just an amazing responsibility to have, but it's just, I don't know that we could ever really truly figure it out to be perfect. There's always going to be something to tweak and make better over time. But Steph,
totally.
I really,
it's so amazing.
You sharing that.
Absolutely. And it's so amazing too that, you know, it is generally a newer industry. I mean, mainly for like metropolitan cities. There's
right.
It's been vacation rentals have been around for so many years, like a long, long time, like in Florida and you know, mountain areas and that kind of stuff. But I just think it's so awesome to see all of these other like sister companies or just company like technology companies that are coming up with these amazing solutions for like an overnight mm-hmm. stay mm-hmm. or like, oh, here's an amazing checklist program. We're gonna be starting to use Breezeway. That is so amazing.
Out.
So yeah, shout out to Breezeway. but yeah, so it's exciting, and you know, if you've got it all figured out and you're a property manager, I want to talk to you. but we're learning, we're growing. I think if you have the gift or if you can try to be a good adapter, then you're gonna be okay in this industry. But you have to learn how to adapt because it's constantly changing.
Sarah, I think that's where we end. Quote at the end there.
You are a rock star. We love what you're doing in Nashville. We cannot wait to stay at one of your properties. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
where should we send our listeners to go learn more about you and your business?
Yeah, you can go to epicbnb.com. Or Instagram, EpicBnB. And we've been pausing on the posting the last couple of weeks, but we'll be getting back on it this upcoming week. And yeah, I hope you guys come visit us in Nashville.
Awesome.
I love
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, right, I am. Awesome. I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group, This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.